Danny West of HawkSports.com on with us now. Danny, good afternoon.
Afternoon, gentlemen.
How does your bracket look?
I think I'm not sure who I picked on Stanford, but I was 15 of 18 going into that.
Wow. So, did you have Mercer?
I did not. Not at all. Oh, I'm 15 of 19 now, so I guess I had New Mexico.
There you go. Let's get everybody caught up real quick on the way the NCAA tournament is going today. Mercer defeated Duke 78-71. Baylor defeated Nebraska 74-60. Stanford defeated New Mexico 58-53. Nebraska, gentlemen, has not won an NCAA tournament game. I believe they are now 0-9.
Well, they made it.
They made it.
That's something. It's something to say for that.
But I thought that they could have gotten by Baylor and played Creighton, and wow, I wish I wouldn't have picked Nebraska.
How far do you have Creighton going?
I've got Creighton in the Sweet 16. And right now, Creighton leads Louisiana Lafayette 31-26 in the first with 3:50 to play. At the half, Tennessee is on top of UMass 41-22. And in the second half, Arizona is on top of Weber State 63-51. So there's your NCAA tournament update. Danny, let's talk a little Razorback basketball before we get into football and recruiting and everything. But the Arkansas Razorbacks on the road to California, where they will take on the Cal Bears Monday night, 10 o'clock Central Time in the NIT.
Yeah, same story. You know, you go on the road, you always have to worry about that. But they played already, as we know, in California, came away with that one. But I've just got a good feeling about this one, Trey. I don't know about you, but I feel like Arkansas really improved a lot throughout the year. They came up short there at the end, but I feel like it's a much, much different team that California is going to see this time around than what they faced in the first time. So I feel good about it.
Yeah, I think obviously it is going to be a different team. And I don't think Arkansas – well, let's hope that Arkansas doesn't have the shooting woes that they had early in the game in Maui against California. And obviously Moses Kingsley is going to play in this game as opposed to the first game against Cal. He didn't play a single minute.
That's a good point. I hadn't even thought about that. But, yeah, you have to avoid those long scoring droughts. And I think they've done better throughout the year at getting away from that, because we've seen it all season. When they hit those, you know, 5-7 minute scoring droughts, they don't have anybody that can step up and pull them out of it. So you've got to avoid them in the first place. So hopefully they'll go out there and hit some shots.
If you've got some Keith Lee Service Company Live fan feedback questions, we can take those. Danny is on with us until the bottom of the hour. Danny, basketball recruiting first off. We know Trey Dickerson's not going to be a Razorback. He's committed to Iowa. But Arkansas does have a point guard to go with Anton Beard, who has already signed.
Yeah, Jabril Durham committed last week. Good pickup. You know, I think he has a couple offers from Oklahoma State. Marquette, I think, offered him. So pretty good offer list. 6'1", 180 guy. Played not the greatest competition at Seminole Junior College over here in Oklahoma, but, you know, he's a scorer. And he can get to the rim and finish, and he had a pretty good assist-to-turnover ratio this past year. So we'll see what they've got, but I definitely feel good about their point guard situation going into next year. You know, you kind of have to question what happens with Kai Matt. You know, he's not just going to roll over and give up that spot, but you've got Anton Beard coming in, who's obviously highly touted, and a lot of people expect him to push for playing time, and now you've got a junior college guy with experience coming in. So much better situation at the point guard position going into next year than what they had this past season.
Will and Conway on our Keithley Service Company Live Fan Feedback asked this question of you. Just curious where the Hogs are with Willie Atwood. He says he's got a sweet mid-range jumper the Razorbacks could sorely use. Also, if we get Atwood, would someone else have to leave?
Yeah, somebody would have to leave, but I can go ahead and tell you I am not expecting Arkansas to get Willie Atwood. I'm not sure where he's going to end up, but I just don't think it's going to be Arkansas. I think you had a pretty good shot with Trey Dickerson while you were recruiting both of those guys as sort of a package deal. You lose Trey Dickerson, and I think that really hurts you with Willie Atwood. So as of right now, unless something crazy happens, I'm not expecting Atwood to be a Razorback.
right, 1-800-477-1037, 433-1037 if you've got a question for Danny. Danny, Austin Cantrell committed to Arkansas yesterday.
He did, Trey. A pretty good pickup. I think Arkansas beat a lot of teams to the punch on this guy. Of course, you never know until he gets here, but 6'3", 249-pound guy with a 4'6", 40. He actually had a 4.58 at one point, so that's a big guy who can run. I think we list him as a tight end. I think he's more of an H-back kind of guy, if you know what I mean, fullback. He can line up at tight end, but he does a lot for that little school he plays at. He's rushed the ball quite a bit for him. He does catch a few passes out of the backfield and whatnot, but got a good look at him yesterday. He was up here for practice. He's really a chiseled kid, really big kid who's only going to get bigger and stronger. So the thing with Austin, he was being recruited by Oklahoma and Oklahoma State, and he told me up front that's really where I wanted to go, but they kind of beat around the bush with me, so and Arkansas jumped on board with an offer this past Sunday, and I think that meant a lot to him. You know, they didn't ask him to come to camp and prove yourself. They said, we've seen enough of you. So we want to go ahead and offer you, and that meant a lot to his family. So he jumped on board yesterday.
And then also Arkansas offered Nashville wide receiver LaMichael Petway on his birthday.
Yeah, a pretty good birthday present. LaMichael, you know, he's originally from Alabama, and when he picked up the Alabama offer, a lot of people said, okay, well, he's probably going to end up at Alabama. I'm not sure that's the case right now. LaMichael, we had a pretty good talk earlier this week, and he made me feel like Arkansas is really a school that he really wants to consider and take them very late into the process. So he really wanted this offer. I think it was pretty cool that it was on his birthday, came up here for an official visit, unofficial visit, I should say, and it was really the first time he had ever met Brett Bielema. So Brett normally doesn't like to offer a kid unless he's met him, especially an in-state kid. And LaMichael came up yesterday, enjoyed his visit, and ultimately left with an offer. So now he's up to Arkansas, Alabama, Ole Miss, Nebraska, a couple others. I think Arkansas State, Louisville, Southern Miss, teams like that. So right now he's number 8 in the state as far as our rankings, but he's definitely a guy that on any given Friday night you could put him in the top 3 in the state and never know the difference. He's a really good player.
And I think his first offer came from Nebraska.
Yeah, that's exactly right.
Talk about his game a little bit.
Well, he's a big guy. The one question with LaMichael has been his speed. He's listed as a mid-range 4-5 guy, but you know as well as I do, does that translate to the football field or not? And I think a lot of coaches question that. But, hey, when you talk about an offer list like Alabama, Ole Miss, Nebraska, Louisville, Arkansas now, apparently – there's a lot of good coaches in that group, and apparently they see something that they really like in him. He's 6'3", 194, really versatile guy. He did pretty much everything for Nashville, the Scrappers, this past season. I think he played quarterback. He rushed for about 300-400 yards. Then he went out and caught, I want to say, 69 balls for over 1,200 yards and almost 20 touchdowns. So really versatile guy. And if I'm guessing, he's probably going to pick up a lot more offers. He's actually going to Auburn, LSU, Stanford, and USC later in his spring break. So there's a chance he could really blow up in the next couple of weeks.
Okay, let's head to Tony. Tony, thanks for calling. Welcome to Overtime.
Yes, I just got on, and I was wondering if Danny could tell me about that basketball player that we got out of Oklahoma. And I'll hang up and listen. God bless you.
All right, thanks, Tony. Thanks.
Yeah, Jabril Durham, as I said, he's 6'1", 180, pretty good offer list. Oklahoma State, obviously a pretty decent basketball program, as well as Marquette. So, you know, he had some nice offers. Arkansas was in on him late. They actually made a really late run at him. And if I'm being honest, I think after Trey Dickerson, their other point guard prospect, committed to Iowa, I think they really made a strong push toward Durham and ultimately picked him up and got him to commit. He hasn't signed yet. I think he's going to wait until next month to sign and have a ceremony and do the whole nine yards. But he's firmly committed to Arkansas. Nothing to worry about right now.
Let's head to Charles in North Little Rock. Charles, thanks for calling. Welcome to Overtime. Charles. Charles is gone. Let's talk to Brad and Dumas.
Yeah.
How are you, Brad?
Doing good, man. I was listening to the afternoon show a while back and got cut off when I started asking them about defensive backs and, you know, that whole pass defense that they need to have next year. What's the scoop on that?
All right. Thanks. We'll get Danny's comments. Appreciate it, Brad.
Yeah, we talked to Brett Bielema about noon today, and he said three guys that have really stood out so far are Carroll Washington, Tevin Mitchell, and Jared Collins at cornerback. So that's encouraging. You know, they've got a lot of practices to get through a long way until the season. But to hear that, you know, three guys at one position, definitely a position of need right now. Three guys stepping up there, I think that's encouraging. You also got Will Gregg, and DJ Dean is a guy that kind of blew me away yesterday just in terms of how he's changed his body. I bet he's above 190 pounds, really thick kid, and played a lot as a true freshman, so he's a guy coming back with lots of experience. So DeAndre Coley at safety, Ty Quentin Coleman yesterday ran with the first team safety group, so a lot of question marks, but then again, you've got some guys with experience. Not all of it has been very good experience, but they have been in the fire a little bit. And so right now it's just a key process.
Danny, how has spring ball been going?
Well, we got our first look at them yesterday, and I thought the quarterbacks, Brandon Allen, Rafe Peavy, and Austin Allen really separated themselves. I thought Brandon Allen really had a good day throwing the ball yesterday. As we know and as we've seen many, many times in spring ball, you really don't know a whole lot about your quarterbacks until you get into the season where things are live and bullets are flying at them. So you always have to be careful with what you report coming out of practice. But I thought they threw the ball well. The receivers have been catching it well. Keon Hatcher continues to stand out. DeArthur Cowan, I will make a note of this, he's actually going to be out this spring. He's got some academic work to catch up on, and they're actually not even letting him take a spring break. So they want to make sure he's good to go, but heard nothing but good things about him this offseason. Jared Cornelius and Cody Hollister, the two early enrollees at wide receiver. Brett Bielema told us this morning he thinks they've got the best set of hands on the team right now, so that's a pretty big statement. And then on the defensive side of the ball, you've still got some shuffling around on the defensive line. Horace Arkadai, a guy that really hasn't played a whole lot, you know, thus far. Into his career, he was out there with the first team yesterday. I thought that was interesting. Oza Peters, that linebacker, I think he's really he set himself up to, if he can just stay healthy, I think he'll have a really good year for Arkansas. He's kind of working on a clean slate now. He's always dealt with injuries, always dealt with coaching changes. I'm not sure he and Chris Ash always saw eye to eye, so it's good for him that he's kind of got a clean slate to work with now. And I'm expecting good things out of both of this year.
Let's head to Dustin in Gurdon. Dustin, welcome to Overtime.
Good afternoon, guys. Hey, listen, I've got to make a trip up to Fayetteville next week, and I was just wondering if there's any spring practice going on next week and if the fans are able to attend.
They're on spring break next week.
That's what I was afraid of. Are there any home baseball games next week?
Yes, they play Mississippi Valley State doubleheader on Tuesday.
Awesome. Thank you, guys. Have a great evening.
You're welcome. Thanks, Dustin. Appreciate the call. Yeah, Mississippi Valley State doubleheader Tuesday. First game's, I think, going to be around 3:30, maybe 3:05, 3:30. And then on Wednesday, they actually play here in North Little Rock against Mississippi Valley State. So they brought that game on when they lost a game back in February on a Monday because of the weather that, Danny, y'all have had up there, the nice winter weather that seems like it never wants to go away.
Yeah, I think we're finally over it now. It's been nice the last couple of days. Cloudy today, but I think we're slowly but surely moving past it, and it's about time.
Talk a little bit about, you said that Brandon Allen threw the ball well and looks good, but talk about the quarterback battle that could be shaping up this year.
Yeah, I think it's an interesting one, but I, you know, a lot of people want to talk about Rafe Peavy. I think we have to be careful there. You know, he's a true freshman. He's made, what, three practices now. So I'm kind of leery to call it a quarterback battle. If anything, right now I would put Austin Allen as the number two quarterback. I just think he's more polished. He looks like he knows what's going on out there now, you know, a little better than he did last year. And in my opinion, I think he's a better guy to go with than A.J. Derby at this point. So right now, if there was a battle to be had, I would call it a battle of the brothers, Austin and Brandon. And ultimately, guys, I expect Brandon to pull away with this thing. You know, kind of like I said, with some of those defensive backs, he doesn't have a lot of great experience, but that experience is priceless. You know, you can't put a price tag on what he's seen in the SEC and all those games he's played in. So we'll see how it shakes out. But right now, I would bet on Brandon Allen taking the quarterback spot.
When you look at the backfield, and Jonathan Williams, I think, said this after Tuesday's practice, the fact that the offense, for the first time since he's been there, he's not trying to learn a new offense this spring. It's more of a polish on what they know already.
Yeah.
How much of a key is that for not only Jonathan, but the other offensive players as well? The fact that they're not having to learn a new offense this year. They know what Jim Chaney wants them to do.
I think it's huge. You know, the one word that I keep hearing when we interview these guys after practice is recall. They say there's so much more recall this year simply because they have the same coaching staff. You know, you never know how much that impacted them over the last few years because they had a lot of other stuff going on in the program. But I think that's a very key thing to talk about. You know, Jonathan Williams, obviously, he was having to learn a lot. You know, in 2 years, I think, what's he had? Three head coaches now. So that's always a difficult deal. But I will say this. I want to make a note of, as far as the backfield. Corliss Marshall, guys, I always thought you got to put him at safety. You know, he's just so athletic, and you need safeties. Yeah. After seeing that guy yesterday run the football, I don't see how in the world you could even think about taking him off the offense now. I mean, that guy's just – he is the game changer that you're looking for at that position. Now, how much will he play? You know, you're dealing with Alex Collins and Jonathan Williams. Obviously, those guys, they need their touches, you know, what they can do with the ball. But you got to find a way to get it to Corliss Marshall, too. That guy is a true game changer.
But he's the guy that obviously can break one and take it to the house. We haven't seen Alex Collins or Jonathan Williams been able to do that yet.
Yeah, and that's interesting. They've got some speed. You know, I'm curious to see how Alex Collins runs this spring and this season, I should say, with a little more extra muscle on him. I think he's up about 10 pounds this spring. But neither one of those guys. I think Jay Will had 70 yards against one of those first three teams up here. I want to say Southern Miss or somebody. But, you know, in SEC play, I'd be curious to see what their longest rush was because it wasn't very much. And Corliss is the type of guy that can take it to the house from 80 yards out.
Danny, yet last year, Brett Bielema said, hey, we're not going to talk about the past with that Arkansas Razorback team, meaning the one that had just gone through what they went through with John L. Smith. What's he saying now this year? What are the players saying now this year after going 0-8 in the SEC last year?
Well, they're going to give us the old line of we're not looking back. But in some situations, I think you should look back because you never know where you're going. You can't get to where you want to go without knowing where you just came from. And they need to let that 0-8 just eat at them for the next several months until they can get back into the season. I think it's a good thing. You know, sometimes you need to get your head kicked in to wake up and start moving forward. So I think in the back of their minds, they are kind of chewing on that a little bit, and they should be, in my opinion.
Yeah, I think so too. Looking at the offensive line, who's gonna be the center?
The center, if I had to guess right now, would be Luke Charpentier. To me, it just looks like he's receiving most of the first-team reps out there so far. But Cordell Boyd is a guy to really watch for. He can play center. He can play guard. Brett Bielema told us today. He said if there's, you know, you've got your starting five, but that next man would probably be Cordell Boyd right now. So Sebastian Tortola's coming in with a lot of junior college experience, so he's one to watch at that position as well.
All right, Danny, as always, we appreciate it, and we'll talk to you next week.
Okay, bye.